You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Oh, yeah, your two words for the day, spreadable sausage.
Spreadable sausage.
Might have been a better phrase than Braunschweiger had they incorporated that in early. But if you go back to the Heinkel cookbook, it was brought over here by the Heinkels generations ago from Germany. Man, really got myself worked up about this. All right, we've got a ton to get to here today, and we'll have some of our Fox News all-stars joining us, Tanya Powers, Jeff Manasso, a little bit later in the program. So Chris Kennedy was in town, and what is going on with these candidates? Like, he just shows up at Paco's?
Did he? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm just kind of curious. I mean, you're running for governor, and are you trying to get like two votes at a time? I mean, what is it that these candidates are doing?
I have no idea. That's strange.
You know, he doesn't have the money.
No.
That the Pritzker and Rauner have. You'd think he would like. I mean, you used to like you would hear from these campaigns, right? I mean, it's just odd. I saw there was a picture in the Herald and Reader today. He was at Paco's having like lunch with I'm betting that the people that were there with him are already going to vote for
They're already going to vote for him, yeah.
So what is it you're actually doing?
I don't know.
All right. Well, it's been a confusing time, politically speaking, for sure, about what's going on with this tax plan. And we thought we would get a chance maybe this morning to talk to Congressman Roddy Davis to explain exactly what it is in this tax plan. The Herald and Review editorial board say none of us know. And I don't know if we know. Congressman Davis, do you know?
I do, and everybody should know. There's a bill that's out. It's available on waysandmeans.gov. This is in reaction to a framework that we laid out over a month and a half ago, allow the American people and Republicans out here and Democrats, no matter what you hear from Democrats, they've had a chance to have their say in what a tax reform bill looks like. And our end product, we believe, really focuses on the middle-income and lower-income families, putting more money into their pocket, Brian.
Okay.
And also using our corporate tax rate reduction to grow jobs.
All right. So you haven't been changing the bill. It hasn't been evolving. It hasn't been revised. The language is still the language from 2 months ago.
Well, the language 2 months ago was not a bill. It was a framework. Now there's a bill. There's language in a bill. The bill exists. It's being debated in what they call the markup process in the Ways and Means Committee that started yesterday, going again today, likely be going again tomorrow and also Thursday. So Democrats will be able to have their say at this committee hearing, be able to offer amendments and do what, you know, work through the legislative process. But this process, once we laid out a framework, I can tell you I had numerous Democrats come up to me on the House floor asking me to sign letters about certain provisions that would be then sent to the chairman and the ranking member of the committee. So they've had a lot of say. They've worked the process, but I bet you in the next day or so they're going to say they've been left out, it's been written in the dark, and the same stuff we heard about the health care reform bill.
All right. So all of this, how do you explain all of the hand-wringing in the media over this?
Oh, boy, I wish I could explain the hand-wringing in the media over a wide variety of issues and not just this one. But it's something that is going to be at the top of every news cycle. What many people, not just the media, but many are looking at, they're looking at the status quo. They're looking at the current tax code. And then when we start to remove some of these deductions and loopholes, they try to use those deduction and those deduction and loophole removals as working with the existing tax rates. But what they're not taking into account in many cases is that on the individual side, we're actually lowering the number of tax rates from 7 down to 3. So to put it into perspective, you take the current 15% tax bracket and we move it down to 12. We take the current 10% tax bracket, we move it to 0. So that means you can make more money before it's taxed at a higher rate, which means you put more money in your own pocket rather than sending it to Washington. And for companies that exist in Decatur that are global companies like Caterpillar, ADM, and GSI just down the street, lowering the corporate tax rate is going to make them more competitive with our global neighbors like Canada and many other countries, including China.
All right, I understand that portion of it. You said the middle class. Let's talk about people that are paying the top what is it, 25%, whatever, and they lose their itemized deductions, are they not going to end up paying more?
No, because the overall rate that they're going to pay is going to be less on more money that they earn. You are lowering every single rate so that they're going to be able to earn more money and have it taxed at a lower rate. And keep in mind, right now, in my district, and I actually, my district, just like on many issues, is just like the nationwide average. 75% of the people in my district and in this country do not itemize. They're taking the standard deduction now. And what we do is we double that standard deduction for those filing as singles and those filing jointly as married. And what that's going to do, it's going to ensure that there are more people, upwards of 90 to 95%, that will not have to itemize anymore. And here's the benefit for groups like charitable organizations and also our those in the real estate market. We are going to still keep the charitable deduction, home mortgage interest deduction, and a property tax deduction on that postcard. So right now, 75% of all Americans don't even see where they can deduct charitable contributions or their mortgage interest or their property taxes or any other itemized deduction. We're going to make sure that those 75 and every single person that is going to look at that postcard has a chance to then say, maybe I ought to give to charity, deduct my mortgage interest, deduct my property taxes, rather than just taking the standard deduction and incentivize them to give more to charities. This is going to be a boon, I think, to those charitable organizations.
All right, so you're comfortable today saying that this law or this bill as exists is going to be good for the middle class and good for corporations, meaning they put money back into hiring and research and development, and I'm all with you on that. What I want to know is if the top 20% pay 90% of the, or 8% of the taxes, how do you give tax cuts to people who don't pay any taxes? I mean, that seems to be the Democrats' argument.
Yeah. What you're going to see is it's helping those that are in the middle class, those that need it the most, those that are in the middle class that are paying taxes. They're the ones that are going to have their income taxed at a lower level the higher it goes. So that means they're going to pay less in taxes, which is more meaningful for those in the middle class who are trying to save to send their kids to college and who are trying to actually work to ensure that they can go buy a new house and get into the real estate market, achieve that American dream of being a homeowner. That's exactly what lowering the overall tax rates do. There's going to be a lot of discussion on the current deductions that make a 70,000-page tax code, Brian. And we always have to remember that in that debate, we are changing the overall structure of the tax rates to lower them, thus making it more profitable for those taxpayers to use the standard deduction and going through the itemization process. It's going to be less complicated. It's going to put more money in the pockets of those middle-class families who are paying taxes now, and it's also going to help us put us in a competitive global environment to create good-paying jobs. That, as we know, if you talk to Caterpillar right now and you've talked to ADM, they're having a hard time filling the jobs that they have. That's a good problem to have right now, and let's make it better.
All right, so why can't the two sides come together and have an intelligent conversation about this, both privately and publicly? You've asserted that there were Democrats involved in putting this together. Why the war on classes? Why do we have this country? It used to be people aspired to be, successful, and now we just blame the successful. And half this country, or 45%, don't pay any federal income taxes at all.
And you can't pay more than zero.
That's so,
What we're talking about and what our plan does is it really helps those who are paying, and it ensures that we put more money in the pockets of virtually every single family in this country. And you asked me about why can't we get along. Well, I mean, you could look no further than our own Senator Dick Durbin. This is a guy who's been in Washington since I was 12 years old, Brian. This is a guy who blames everybody else for the problems that exist in Washington. He was around when the last tax reform package happened. And he's now out there talking about how this deduction is going to hurt this person. When we talk about state and local deduction, it's a deduction that many individuals take right now, 25% of my constituents. But when we raise that standard deduction and double it, the only people that are going to that would have benefited from that state and local tax deduction remaining outside of the three that we keep are those making $250,000 a year and above. But a lot of them are still going to see the benefit by the reduction in rates. So it's speaking out of both sides of their mouth. Dick Durbin, who complains about tax cuts going to the wealthy, is wanting to protect a provision that will only benefit the wealthy. And then when it comes to corporate tax rates, don't you remember Dick Durbin a few years ago hauling in the CEO of Walgreens and others who were talking about using the tax code that he helped create that is incentivizing companies to invest overseas? He called them in and lectured them. Now we're trying to get rid of that. And it's the same he's using to then say, well, this isn't fair to Americans. We're closing the loopholes that commercials get made about politicians wanting to ship jobs overseas. And now, instead of standing up and joining us, he stands up and complains because it's all about politics for Dick Durbin, and it's all about denying President Trump and the Republicans a victory for one reason, and that's so he and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi can take over Congress.
All right. At the end of the day, people are going to know by the way they file their taxes and the money they get back, right?
It's going to be simple math.
It's not going to be right, but it's not going to be theory. If this is passed, people will know whether they're better off or not.
They are going to know. We are saying that they will be better off, that they will put more money in their pocket, that if their income stays the status quo as to where it is today and nothing changes, then we believe they're going to actually send less money to Washington, D.C. And we also believe that in communities like Decatur, Taylorville, where I'm from, and many others, you're going to see economic growth and economic activity, which means more people are going to be able to feel confident enough to go buy a house. They're going to go buy a car. They're going to donate more to the food drive and to other local charities, because that's exactly what a growing economy does for every single American.
All right. This is the biggest restructuring of the system since the 1980s. What happens next? And will the Republicans cave at all in this?
I don't understand what you mean by cave.
Well, I mean, say there's no revisions. I'm reading there's revisions.
There's always a bill that's being introduced right now. The process is going to continue to work until we get a bill that's passed. And the legislative process means, just like on any bill, that somebody can come amend it. Those amendments could get ruled in or out of order, and they could pass. So until the bill is done out of the House, it could be changed, but I think it would be just changed for the better. And then when you look at the Senate, they're going to pass their version. And in what I hope happens, we'll come together as a conference committee. We'll work out our differences, and then we'll begin to see what that final bill looks like. Yes, this is an evolving process. It always is, but we all have the same goal, to reduce taxes on middle-income families and also grow our economy by making us more competitive on the corporate side.
All right, what's the timeline on this?
Well, we're pretty confident in the House. I hate to give timelines because I got blasted for the timelines on the health care bill. But remember, we passed it out of the House, and as you see, many people are contacting me about just outrageous increases in prices at
I know, but Congressman, this is why people have so little faith in anything happening there, is that it seems like there's common sense reasons to do things, but there's no common sense left in Washington, D.C. So I believe you believe everything you just told me over the last 13 minutes, but what's the chance or the possibility that it passes as we talk about it today? I mean, what will happen? I mean, why not? If it makes so much sense and you have the facts on your side and the math works and people will see when they file their income taxes, what in the world is keeping you from getting it done?
Well, I will tell you, our goal is to have it done and out of the House by Thanksgiving,
okay,
which means in the next couple of weeks. But as you know, there are a lot of different interests that are going to bombard many members of Congress, and they may get cold feet based upon what they feel may or may not help their constituents. And we are going to get zero help from people like Senator Durbin and the Democrats. And we've got to do more on our side to ensure that we do what we can to help the American people. And we've got to revisit health care, too. Remember, there are a lot of families that are now paying exponentially more for the same coverage that they had last year because we couldn't get some of the people that helped create this mess of a health care system to help us fix their mess. That's what we need folks like Senator Durbin to recognize that they are costing middle-class families more for health care coverage, and that we ought to be able to do something as simple as put more money in their pockets by reforming the tax code.
I hope Republicans keep up with this message. I really do. I mean, I've lost a lot of faith in just about everybody in Washington, D.C. This healthcare debacle, and that's what it is. You've got people. I was talking to the director of Crossings, you know, which they do an amazing job just north of here and serve a lot of people. But you got a lot of middle-class people going there for their services because they can't afford a $5,000 deductible on their health insurance plan.
It's even more for people. I got somebody, a friend of mine from Decatur, just texted me. His has gone up. His has gone up 42% just in this year. And at some point, how's he going to be able to continue to provide health coverage to the people that work at his small business? And these people that are, you know, the small manufacturers in places like Decatur, it is offensive to me, which is why I stand up and I take all the criticism I can from those who want us to go to a single-payer healthcare system, which I am going to oppose as long as I'm here. But they don't want to help fix this problem. They only want government to take over our healthcare system, and that is going to make it even worse than where we are today. But it's people like Dick Durbin who voted to create this system. It's people like him that now go out and complain about the system that they created, and we get no help. And that's when every listener of yours should demand action out of him and those who put us in this mess that are costing companies and costing people in Decatur, Illinois, exponentially more just to have coverage that has a deductible that they can't even afford to use.
No, and tell me how people are better off. Most people's medical bills, and I'm talking about catastrophic, but most people will go and have $200 or $300 or $400, you know, because they have to go to the doctor. And now those people's insurance is up, as you just noted, 42% in some cases, and their deductible is now $5,000. What good is having health insurance if most of your health insurance needs aren't covered by it?
There is no good. And that's why we have right now 29 million people who still don't have health care coverage because they've just kind of thrown their hands up in the air, even though the law requires them to. They're going to pay the penalty rather than actually getting health coverage because it's unaffordable. And then we've got another 31 million that can't afford to use the coverage they have. A guy named Tony, a friend of mine that runs his own small business, and he runs a camera crew that does satellite TV interviews when I go over to the Capitol and do them. His and his wife's insurance, they have to pay in premiums and deductibles $19,000 a year before they get dollar one of coverage outside of preventative treatment. They can go get a colonoscopy. They can go get a checkup and a physical, but they can't deal with a cancer diagnosis. They can't go get knee surgery. They can't go get hip replacement surgery, if God forbid they need that, because they can't afford to use the coverage they have. They're putting off those expenses. And this is exactly what people like Dick Durbin said wouldn't exist if you just passed the Affordable Care Act. And now Dick Durbin won't come to the table to help us fix it. And everybody should let him know that they're offended by that.
All right. How many people actually have Obamacare?
I don't know the numbers, but I can get them to you, Brian.
But no, I mean,
in our district,
they keep saying 24 million people will die if it's repealed. And last numbers I looked at, only about 8 million people have Obamacare. I mean, so what? It's like, I don't know. Washington, D.C. has just become a place where, you know, facts just don't matter anymore. And I get why people are so cynical about politics, because people will just get out there and lie right to your face. I'm reading between the lines that you have a problem with Dick Durbin.
No, I'm just sick and tired of him complaining about things when he's been here long enough to actually, instead of complain, fix things.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure we were clear on that. All right, Congressman,
absolutely.
We got to run. We appreciate the time. Congressman Roddy Davis on fire this morning.